better than beer?
Can it be?
I love that.
I love craft beer.
Beer. Sparkling. Golden. Pure. A beverage as old as history.
I am passionate about craft beer.
Craft brewing is innovation.
Independence. Curiosity.
Collaboration. Character. And this is the craft beer evolution.
Beer snob like a motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Irish Beer Snob podcast. My name is Janice, I am your host with my trusty sidekick Wayne. Hi Wayne!
Good evening everyone, how are you?
Good, good. Well, we found out that we are the number one beer podcast in Ireland. How does that make you feel, babe?
It makes me feel good.
And who's number two?
Oh, that would be the 11pm Somewhere podcast.
Booyah!
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
So this episode, we're actually going to be talking about a couple of festivals that we were at recently. Namely, the most important was the ABV Fest in Belfast. And then we will actually be reviewing a beer called Barahooly Black IPA,
yep.
Which should be fun. And we were also at Sheridan's Food Festival. So we've got quite a bit to talk about in this one. But we do have a special treat for you at the end of this episode. So please, please, please do keep listening because it's quite exciting and we're quite proud of this one.
Yeah, it should be good. There's an interview at the end with Matthew Dick, who's heavily involved in the organisation of ABV Fest, but he's also a co-founder and the brewer up at Boundary Brewing Company, which would have hit the headlines there late last year, where they did a crowdfunding co-op approach to brewery. So like people have got to invest in the brewery and they're all shareholders. Similar to BrewDog Equity Punks, but a bit different. As well, in the sense of everyone goes to the AGM and has votes and so on. So will we get straight into talking about ABV Fest 2015 up in Belfast?
Yes, it was on the 22nd to the 23rd of May, and it was in the Titanic drawing offices in Belfast. How did you find out about this thing? I found out about through Twitter, really.
Yeah, I saw something pop up on Twitter a while ago, that was announcing that there was going to be a beer festival exactly kind of 6 months between that and the Northern Irish Beer Festival. It's kind of a camera event run by Camera Northern Ireland.
Unfortunately, we actually missed.
Yeah, we missed that back in November, but we kind of found out a little bit about it, and I was like, wow, I was intrigued. It's been a while since we were up in Northern Ireland. In fact, I don't think I've ever gone out to kind of really have a look at the beer scene in Belfast. But the thing was that really interested me was the fact that they had, you know, the initial kind of brewery list they had was very, very good. You know, they'd obviously a lot of established Irish breweries, like the likes of Galway Bay and others there. But they also had, you know, up-and-coming UK breweries like Magic Rock, Partisan, Beavertown, among others. And, you know, they just promised to be a really good event. But
the great thing about it, though, I found, was that it was done in sessions.
Yeah, like, it's very different to the RDS Festival that's ran down in Dublin there during on St. Patrick's Week and during the late summer in August, September time, because I suppose it's very like an American or UK, like the mainland in England, UK, kind of beer session where you pay your ticket in is actually a session rather than, you know, you pay your entry fee and you pretty much fill your boots until you get kicked out. So what that kind of appealed to me in the sense of like, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to go up, do a day trip up on the train, and 11pm Somewhere tagged along. So it was a good bit of fun. The three of us got to go up there. But then when the beer list was published for the 3 days, like in advance, so you were able to see what beers were on before you even got there. So you could obviously make a list of what was a must try and must have that day.
And entry fee?
I think it was about £12 per session.
Isn't bad.
Which I didn't think was too bad.
Considering you were there for, what, 5-6 hours?
Yeah, well, they had three sessions overall. They had the Friday evening session, the Saturday afternoon session, which was the session we went to, and then they had, obviously, the Saturday evening session, which was obviously the finale. Like, obviously, your entry ticket got you a free third of Northern Irish craft beer, and a token, a commemorative glass of the event to bring home with you. So it was really one of those things that I thought, you know, I was intrigued right from the get-go, because obviously when I found out, like, the Prohibition drinks and Matthew and various other people were involved, it was going to be very different, where all the breweries weren't manning the bars themselves. It was kind of like all they were doing was sending up the beer and letting the volunteers, and there was an army of them up there.
That's the one thing that I really enjoyed about it as well, is that there was literally one bar with a row of taps. In one room, on tap in room one, you had up to 11 beers.
Yep.
And then in room two, there were 12 beers on tap.
Yeah. Like, again, very different to what we're used to down here. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that because it was a little bit less trying to get around to see everyone. It was more you went to one focal point to get the drink you wanted, and then you were able to kind of step out and chill out and have a chat.
Did you miss the interaction with the brewer of the beers, though?
Yeah, kind of. There was a number of the brewers there themselves on the day. Like, I actually met the gentleman who was behind the Barahooly beer. Now, I'm terrible with names, particularly when I've had a couple of drinks, so I apologise for not remembering his name, but I had a good chat with him. He's from the Glens of Antrim, and he was talking about how he's really well supported locally. But it was great to see that, as well as the established names, there was a lot of support for the up-and-coming Northern Irish craft breweries as well, because while a lot of them may not be kegging yet, a lot of them are in bottles. They still kind of afforded the chance for punters like myself and yourself to try some Northern Irish craft beer while they were there. So while we're talking about ABV Fest, we're actually going to have a bottle of the Barahooly Black IPA. So this is from the Glens of Antrim, a black IPA, which is an interesting beer to kind of include in your launch, you know, portfolio. But again, as I've said numerous times, it's great to see people taking a bit of a chance with it. And it's obviously, you know, what, 4.85%. So it looks like a stout, as always, like, you know, but it's generally got them citrusy hop finishes that kind of really plays with the mind if you're not actually used to, you know, having black IPAs.
There's a beautiful citrus aroma to it.
Yeah, now I'm just having a look at the label here to see.
Slightly malty.
To see
maybe
if
a bit chocolatey.
Has the hops on it there. He doesn't actually, but I can imagine that there's one or two of the American variety in there. It's bottle conditioned as well, so, like, obviously means, you know, there's a bit of yeast in there as well. But again, you know, coming back to talking about ABV Fest, one thing that really I was really impressed by was the actual venue itself.
Oh, wasn't it just class?
You know, like,
wasn't it just a lovely, lovely venue?
Historic building used for something like this, and coincidentally, the last event that's going to be held in the drawing offices before they turn it into a boutique hotel. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because obviously there's been a lot of regeneration up there, but it was truly great to be in a building, and then you were actually right next door to the Titanic building as well, which is obviously a modern building, very striking from the distance to see. But I suppose with the three different days beer lists, I suppose you kind of had that bit of beer envy if you were looking at the Saturday evening session going, oh god, I wish I could stay around for that, and then you had to look at the Friday evening session, you go, god, I wish I was around for that. It was a totally sold out thing as well.
Well, this time next year, hopefully we will be in a position to be reviewing the whole entire weekend, because we might actually book that off and stay up there next year.
Yeah.
But another thing that I really enjoyed about it as well was the beer and cheese tasting session that we did.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. I really, really loved it. And you got to taste a type of cheese that you're not too keen on, like goat cheese, if I'm correct.
Yeah, like, anyone who knows me knows that I'm kind of conquering my cheese phobia one nibble at a time. That was another aspect of the event which I thought was really well done. Like, while, yes, the brewers themselves might not have been there pouring the pints for you, there were actually those different brewers doing different tastings and educational sessions, and they were, what, an extra £5 each?
Yeah.
But you got to go in and have a couple of beer samples and a bit of food or a bit of cheese and a little bit of interaction with the breweries as well, which, again, it's taken away from the chaos of what can be quite chaotic exhibition floor. Like, just looking at some of the beers we had on the day itself, like, you know, breweries that were known to us, like the likes of Galway Bay, Trouble Brewing were all there. But, you know, we got to try beers that sometimes are very, very, very slow to come over to Ireland, or if they do come into Ireland, they are in extremely limited quantities. So what we have there, you know, one that really stood out for me was the Beavertown Espresso, a barrel-aged Imperial Stout, which was just absolutely ridiculous in terms of its strength, its quality, its balance. It was coffee, it was roasted, it was chocolate, it was everything you want. It kind of felt like drinking a fortified Nespresso pod, really. But, you know, there was some cracking beers there as well.
Well, my favourite, actually, of the entire festival was the Saison by Partisan.
That was the raspberry and lemon one, yeah?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that, again, you know, anyone who kind of was looking at our Instagram feed over the weekend would see that, you know, it was an absolutely vibrant pink colour, which, you know, looking at it, going, that's not a beer. It looks like a Kool-Aid or something. But it's superb palate cleanser. Because I suppose my one kind of criticism of the beer list, there was quite a lot of heavy Imperial Browns and Stouts and Porters. There was maybe four or five of those in a tap list of 20. That kind of represents quite a lot. While it's refreshing to see it's not all big Imperial IPAs and stuff like that, I did find that there was one, you know, maybe one or two too many there.
As a red ale lover, I would have liked to see a little bit more of that type style of beer there.
Yeah, there was the Flanders Red by, who was it, Burning Sky, which was an interesting red sour. Not overly sour, but it was still good all the same. You know, like, it was great. You know, like, I'm just thinking of the Imperial Stouts I drank. The Tsar by Buxton, the Imperial Brown by Colonel.
Oh, that was gorgeous.
The Fattest Stout, is it, by Mad Hatter, which personally was my favourite. I just thought for 9% or 9.5%, it was so balanced, it was scary that if you didn't tell me that was 9%, I'd be there going, there's no way that's 9%. We also got to try a really interesting collaboration.
Oh, yes. The one that I was actually so excited to see, and the reason I actually went on this session was Galway Bay and Boundaries Border Hopper. That was just class.
Yeah, like, we actually bumped into Chris from Galway Bay up there. He was up there, I think he did one or two Meet the Brewer sessions as well. And, you know, Border Hopper is a collaboration between Boundary and Galway Bay. Obviously, Matthew and Chris know each other well because they're kind of from similar areas. But at the same time, the Border Hopper, you know, it was nice, but definitely it didn't, for me, it didn't taste like an Imperial IPA. It tasted more like a barley wine.
And the other thing we actually had fun trying was the beer cocktails. What we had one called the Bloody Mexican that was made with Beavertown Bloody Ale, Blood Orange IPA, and that was class.
Yeah, I think I had the Passion of the Pit, didn't I, which had the Wild Beer Co. beer in there, which both beer cocktails were exceptional. Like, it just shows you the creativity, and I think the bar staff, the cocktail guys that were working away making the cocktails, they had a queue there all day long. So, like, it was obviously very popular with the non-beer drinkers that might have been in attendance on the day. You know, it's important to kind of cater for everybody. Like, I'm just having a mouthful of this black IPA, and it's actually really tasty. Just a lovely, lovely body to it, lovely kind of bitterness that I really like. But what do you think of the black IPA yourself? God, it's tasty. Just what you need after a long day.
Jesus, gets me right back there.
Yeah, bitterness.
Yeah,
it's good. I kind of don't like a black IPA that's too soft.
Lovely, lovely aftertaste to it.
Makes you want more, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's like very, very citrusy. It's not what I'd expect.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those, as I said, the old mind mess up when you look at it. You think, well, that's going to be a porter or something.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, for anyone out there, black IPA is not a beer to be a style to be afraid of. It's something that brewers can have a lot of fun with. It's got a bit of roasted malts in there as well. You know, like, just go through some of maybe your top three beers that you had on the day yourself that really stand out for you. I know, like, one of them was obviously the Partisan Sour.
Yeah, number one for me totally was the Partisan Sour. The other one that I really, really enjoyed was the Colonel Imperial Brown. And then the other one, I think, was the Tiny Rebel Fubar.
Yeah, for me, as I said, the stout, the Imperial Stouts, the Fattest Stout was my favourite of the day. I did really enjoy the Marble Brew 900, which was a strong Belgian ale, and really actually enjoyed the Buxton Tsar as well. It's just all big beers, but different flavour profiles. It's great to see the Beavertown. I don't think it even lasted through the session we were at. I think it was gone before the session's finished. That's actually what I really enjoyed as well, that you didn't really see too many people who were absolutely leery, because the maximum measure they sold was a half. And if it was over 7%, it was a third. That was the maximum you'd get. Now, I've no issue with that, because like, you don't drink craft beer to get blottoed. You drink it to enjoy the flavour and experience new things. So all in all, I found it quite reasonable. I did hear one or two people kind of grumble a bit about the price, but you know, considering the rarity of some of the beers that were involved, was absolutely no problem to us anyway to pay the money.
I, for one, am really, really looking forward to next year. I'm booked the weekend off, and we are getting a hotel, and we are staying up there, and we're going to everything goes happening.
Okay, so like that, ABV Festival 2015, huge success. I enjoyed a lot of it. The food, even
the food trucks
were really good.
That pulled pork sandwich with the applesauce.
Yeah.
From Farman Food, wasn't it?
Yeah, they didn't have any crackling, unfortunately, but I know I had the hot dog roll, and the sausage as well was fantastic. But I really love that mustard, a homemade mustard they had with it as well. You know, but again, it's just great to see the burgeoning scene in Northern Ireland. Like, obviously, we take it for granted down in the Republic how mad it is down here, but it's similar levels of craziness up there. And it was great to see some brewers that we'll probably not see down here for a while. Mm-hmm. Matthew actually was saying that there's a lot of guys looking up north to export to, because it's actually close. And the same guys looking south as well to get the beers down here. So hopefully we'll see more up here, more down here from the guys up there. But definitely hope to see more of the.
I just want to touch back on the beer and cheese tasting that we did, because it was with the Rick. Fancy Cheese Company.
Yeah.
That made one of your favourite blue cheeses, the Young Buck cheese.
Yeah.
So, and it's one of my favourite as well. And then we had Rick from Kinnegar Brewing there as well doing the beers. The first cheese was a goat's cheese, and that was paired with...
Wasn't that the Rust Bucket it was paired with?
And there was another one.
And then there was the Yannarodi.
Yeah.
And then we also had one of the new Kinnegar Brews, which is a Belgian style red ale, the name of which escapes me. Great aroma, tastes very saison-y when you drink it, but you get a real hot burst on the aroma.
And then there was the blue cheese then as well, of course.
Yeah, the Young Buck blue cheese. Again, the name of the ship where the tastings took place was, it was an old commissioned boat that's in a dry dock right next to the Titanic Quarter. I'm really bad.
It will be in our show notes. It'll be in the show notes. We have links and everything. But we apologise. Yeah. The names have
But again, really unique venue space for using for a beer tasting. Yeah. Like, you know, not just some dodgy side room that's been, you know, put together with a few pop-up tables and a few chairs. This was like you're actually in the bowels of a ship that's actually a floating museum in a dry dock, you know.
And then, of amazing. Course, it was fun to bump into people that we knew as well. We met Caroline, Scott and Cam from
8 Degrees. Were there, yeah, because they actually launched their new Session Pale Ale, Grand Stretch, I think it's called. Unfortunately,
we
won't get, but we'll try that soon, I'm sure. But ABV Fest, two thumbs up from us. Really enjoyed it. Obviously, with the interview with Matthew coming up afterwards, so stay tuned for that. Now, I know you're really keen to start talking about Sheridan's.
I can't wait. Okay, Sheridan's is the highlight of my year. I love it. It's a food festival. It's held in their headquarters in Meath, on the Virginia Road, just outside Kells. It's epic. I just love it. There's so many food vendors. There's so many beer guys as well. A lot of local people are there. A lot of local producers are there. There's great entertainment. And for once in the 6 years that we have gone, we had great weather.
Yeah, it didn't rain on us.
It did not rain once. It was brilliant. Although I was dressed in my wellies prepared for the bad weather, I didn't actually need them and I felt like a muppet.
Yeah, like Sheridan's are a massive, like anyone who is obviously from overseas, Sheridan's will be a leading advocate of good food, you know, organic produce, small producers, artisanal cheese, you know, small cured meat providers like Gubbin and, you know, Jack McCarthy's Butchers from Cork. And it was great to see everyone, great spirits, going around, nibbling, tasting everything and, you know, picking up stuff that you wouldn't maybe normally pick up.
But our first port of call had to have been to Paddy and Dara from Brew.
Yeah, Brew Brewery. Brew, obviously, everyone who knows us knows we are, like, really big fans of them. They're a local brewery for us here.
Number one fan!
They got notification during the last couple of weeks that their lager is actually gluten-free.
Which is huge. That is massive. I think that's great news. And it also tastes really good.
Yeah, and, you know, like, I know they were at Bloom, which is another big food event this weekend. The bank holiday in Ireland in June every year. It's run by Bard Beer and so on. But they were there, and I have no doubt in my mind that gluten-free beer will have been flying out of the taps, because it definitely was flying out of the taps when I was giving them a hand at Sheridan's. But it also saw the first foray in the public domain by O'Cleary Brewing Company. So our good mate Breffney is also a member of our homebrew club. Him and his brother are starting a brewery in Cavan, the first craft brewery in Cavan.
Well done, lad.
Huge, big congratulations. And, you know, they launched with an American-style pale ale, you know, nice and bitter. Probably could have done with a bit more dry. Well, it didn't have any dry hopping. Like, they
were
under pressure.
Well, we got to taste it. We were lucky enough. We got to taste it on draft.
Yeah. And it was really, really good. Again, very different to the safe kind of English-style pale ale that's quite low in bitterness, full of juiciness from the Citra and Amarillo hops that are in there.
And if I saw it in a bar, I'd actually be happy enough to order a pint of it.
Yeah, and I'm sure Breffney and his brother will tweak the recipe a little bit as well to include the dry hopping going forward. But it was great to see them, and hopefully they'll be at many events over the summer now, maybe even one of our events during the summer as well.
Fingers crossed.
So, like, obviously, we came away with a suitable-sized bag of swag from Sheridan. So what was in our little bag of tricks?
A pretty decent haul that I have to admit that I'm pretty proud of. We had tea from Kingfisher's. We had some lemon drizzle cake by Bakelicious, which I have to say, it was, what was it, double-soaked lemon drizzle cake.
Mm.
That was fucking awesome. God forgive my cursing. We had Cahill's cheese. Porter one, and we had one infused with wine, which is my favourite, and I was so happy that they were there this year, because she didn't have the wine one last year, so I stocked up this year, thank God. We also picked up some Cashel blue cheese, but they did have a beautiful cream cheese, which I'm kind of raging I didn't get now. Also, of course, McCarthy's black pudding. We got some beautiful homemade chutneys from Hilda's. And then a first for us, actually, was cheese. Raw milk cheese from Corleggy.
Yeah, raw goat, no, raw sheep.
Sheep and cows, wasn't it?
Sheep and cow's milk, yeah. Like, obviously, raw milk is a huge thing over here now as well. But it was great to, like, we had a taste of the cheese, and they had a lovely little kind of tasting pack to bring home for maybe €4 or €5. I can't remember the exact price.
Fiver.
Yeah, it was great to see Rogan's, who are always at the Saturday food market as well with their applewood smoked sausages.
Oh my God, delicious.
But, you know, food in this country has come on leaps and bounds in the last 10, 20 years. And, you know, like, seeing these festivals and events, it's really testament to how our tastes are evolving. Such a great festival event, the Sheridan's event.
Keep it
in your calendar for next year.
The Boston cream donut from Delish.
That was good as well. So, like, we've eaten and drank a lot.
A lot.
At these festivals. So we're really enjoying this Barahooly beer. So congrats to the brewer. I'm just really sorry I can't remember your name. But it was great to meet you at the event in ABV Fest. Hopefully we will see you at the next one. Hopefully we'll see your beers down here very soon. I think that's kind of everything. Like, obviously, you know, we do hope to put these out a bit more regularly, like, coming up with a bit of news as well, like, in terms of the O'Hara's Beer bringing out a summer IPA with Sriracha Ace as part of their Hop Hunter series, so that'll be really interesting. That's coming more publicly available from the week after next, as far as I know, but they're debuting that at Bloom and the Cat's Laugh Festival down in Kilkenny this week. I think we've got Brewdog Equity Punks now next week. So hopefully we'll bump into one or two of you over there as well. But that's kind of it. Like, as always, if there's anything else you kind of want us to cover, or any feedback, comments, criticism, sledging, slagging, you let us have it, you know. Like, it's all about interaction at the end of the day.
We're both on Twitter. I'm at Mrs. Beersnob.
At Irish Beersnob.
We are on Facebook, Irish Beersnob.
Yeah, Instagram, at Irish Beersnob.
And Mrs. _ Beersnob. The underscore is important, lads.
Crucial. Crucial. I've made that mistake. Don't fall into the same trap I have. Lastly, irishbeersnob.com. Obviously, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. The RSS feed details are in the show notes. You can obviously direct download for Android who don't use iTunes. And, you know, hit us up by email, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. We'd be happy to talk to you. Cheers, everybody.
Launch out.
Stay tuned for an exclusive interview with myself and Matthew Dick, co-founder of Boundary Brewing and head brewer. Thanks. Good evening, good afternoon, everybody. It's Wayne from the Irish Beersnob Podcast. We're up here at the ABV Fest in the Titanic Water in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Absolutely beautiful restoration next to the Titanic building. I'm lucky enough to have Matt here from Boundary Brewing, who's been involved in the setup of ABV Fest. Obviously, brewer at Boundary that, you know, would have launched through a co-op earlier this year. So, Matt, thanks very much for your time.
No problem. Thanks for coming.
What's been your highlight? I know it's on the Saturday and it's still the afternoon or evening session to go tonight, but you have to have had a couple of beery highlights already.
So far, yeah, it was good to have Fathoms on draft yesterday. That was class.
Fathoms, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Can't get that here. I've got to smuggle it across. The Partisan Saison today was awesome. It was Raspberry Lemon, was it?
Yeah.
That was a great one to start. And what was it yesterday? Tool Saison yesterday. I can't remember what it was called, but it was top notch.
Yeah, because they've got they've got the Fuka. The Heathens are coming
on
at the moment. I've had that in bottle. I'm going to have it on draft before I go. But I suppose, like, you've been heavily involved in the organisation of this festival. Like, you've done it very differently to the standard festival that we'd be used to seeing down in Ireland, Southern Ireland or the Republic for people who are listening. It's like, I've been having this in my calendar for months. I've been going, this is going to be brilliant, because just looking at the way you're doing things, it's like, you know, it's all about the beer, you know. It's not, you know, brewers aren't necessarily behind the bars pulling the pints, but we're all getting a great choice of beers that you might not ever come across.
Yeah.
Like, I just noticed, I had it earlier today, the Espresso by Beavertown.
Yeah, that was class.
You know, I'd say that had to be smuggled under cloak and dagger from London to get over here, because it's just one of those beers. Again, it's really good, really amazing beers that you want to experience at a festival. But Has the kind of Northern Irish craft beer community rallied around this event as a real? This is a real calling to arms. This is what we're doing. This is who we are.
We had a couple of pillars that we wanted to build a fest around, and one of them was we wanted to invite every Northern Irish brewery. There's over 20 of us now, and none of the fests up here do that, unfortunately. Focus on the Northern Irish stuff, so we wanted to invite everyone. And whether they could send draft or a lot of Northern Irish ones, just do bottle at the minute.
Yeah.
Take some bottles. So we wanted to kind of focus part of the fest around that, and then just kind of add on our friends in the community and the people that we admire from a distance, and most of them said yeah, so it was brilliant.
Yeah, like, that really highlights the collaborative nature of craft brewing in general. Yeah. Like, you know, like, you've reached out to breweries like Marble in Manchester, Beavertown down in London. But it's great to see such a representation of the Northern Irish guys. Like, particularly for us, all we did was hop on a train in Dublin and we're up in Belfast in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
But, like, we don't see much of the beer down here. Just like you wouldn't see much of our stuff up with you guys.
It's starting to change, particularly from the south up to the north. We're starting to get more and more of the southern breweries realising that there's a bit of a market that they haven't tapped into in the north.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see more and more of the northern ones go down south too. We certainly intend to quite quickly.
Yeah, and that kind of leads nicely in. Obviously, Boundary launched massive social media crowdfunding campaign. It's been something that's not been done before in these islands, or in Ireland anyway, that's for sure. Like, you got great buy-in. I'm assuming you got massive buy-in from the local community up here.
Yeah, it was class. So we raised 100 grand in 8 days.
Amazing.
And we were looking for 65 grand in 5 weeks.
Wow.
So, yeah, it blew out of the water. It was ridiculous, really. Yeah, and most of them, probably about 70-80% at least, our BT postcode, so they're from the north. We had our AGM this morning, elected a new board, sorted some stuff out, had a couple of votes, and yeah, we're full sail here.
Seeing the guys roaming around in the t-shirts, it's like
a bit of viral marketing.
It's like Northern Ireland's own version of Brewdog in the sense of equity for bunks or whatever, you know.
Thanks.
But no, I think that's the thing. Like, people who drink craft beer care about the beer they're drinking, and you know, like, it's a real opportunity for them to get invested and get behind the project. And you know, like, it's great to see that innovation that sometimes is lacking around the world. You know, we all need to try something different. I can't wait personally to come back up to Belfast and try your beers. And
brilliant.
You know, because I had a taste of the collaboration you did with Chris from Galway Bay.
The one today.
The clean version now.
Clean version. Looking. The cleaner wasn't so clean.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Brett version and see what the difference
too.
Is.
Me too.
Because like Brett just brings the insanity to the party.
I'm gonna try next week. I haven't tried it in a month or two, so see what the Brett's doing.
Yeah. So Boundary. You've got the brew house set up and you're out to market. And what's the reception been like locally?
It's been class. It's been every day we sell, every day we put it out to the retailers, it sells in a day or two. I go to the off licenses as bars, and there's been times where there's been people waiting for me to show up with beer because they want to buy the beer from the retail. That's because we're starting, and it's because we're cooperating with some of them on it, but still, it's class.
Yeah, people want to get behind a local story, you know.
Keep that momentum, keep producing good, consistent beer, and just carry that wave and ride it and see where it takes us.
So, what's on the horizon for the next? Like, obviously, ABV Fest, I'm hoping it comes back in some incarnation next year, because these fantastic buildings that we're in today, they're going to be turned into a boutique hotel.
Yeah, we're their last event, and then they start renovations. I think they start next week.
Wow. The bulldozers
awesome.
Come
we
in.
We drew up a shortlist of where we wanted to do the fest, and this was number one, and they said yes, so we stopped looking immediately.
So we're
quite fortunate. So we have other thoughts, and yes, we would love to do it next year.
And then as far as Boundary are concerned, what are you looking at doing in the next few months?
Yeah.
Like, they make the Irish beer geeks down in Dublin and Cork look up and go, you know what, we should be going up to Belfast
come
for a weekend.
Come for a day, yeah. Do come for a day. So we do the core, the 3.5% pale ale, which is just an approachable half malt, half hop, kind of pretty balanced, not too hoppy at all. Pale ale, got the IPA, 7%, and export stout, 7%. And then because we're so small, we're 2.5 barrel, and just doing double brews, and we can kind of just do what we want, and it's not too much beer. So we're doing a Berliner. I'm going to add that kind of as a semi-core.
Oh, yeah,
just have it every month, do different fresh fruit in it each month.
Yeah.
I've got loads of wine barrels, so I do the boil in the kettle, do the lacto in the kettle, and then let it go in the wine barrel.
Leave it go, and it'll
be
something good.
The wine barrel does best, yeah. I've loads of surprises up my sleeve. We're planning to do one or two specials a month.
And you're going to continue the cross-border collaboration, do you think?
Yeah, flip by, yeah. Rascals.
So any Irish brewers listening to this, the invitation is open.
Come up or I come down. I don't need too much of an excuse.
We want to see more collaborations as consumers.
Yeah, we have stuff planned with Rascals. And maybe another one will go away by that I maybe shouldn't talk about, but
it's all right. I won't tell anybody.
Don't tell Chris.
Matt, thanks very much for your time, mate.
I've really
enjoyed the day so far.
Thanks for coming up.
And thanks for putting on such a great event.
Pleasure.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Very much.
See ya. Good stuff.
The Irish Craft Beer subreddit is the best way to keep pace with all the latest news, views, reviews and interviews relating to the Irish craft beer scene. Check out the subreddit at www.reddit.com/r/IrishCraftBeer and join the revolution.